This year, we've been thinking about some of the fundamental principles and doctrines which a Christian should now follow if we belong to Christ. And Doreen was just telling me there as we were singing, she reached across to me and said that her great-grandson, who's 4 or 5, is he? 5 on Saturday, said to his mum in the car going to school, "How can I fully give my life to Jesus?" Isn't that wonderful? We've been looking at these fundamental principles, doctrines, if you like, that have held us and we should know about as we live our lives for Christ. And if you've given your life to Jesus, you're different. You belong to Him. And if you belong to Him, then you've got to walk a different way. Today I want to talk to you a little bit about making wise choices. People in the prayer meeting this morning, did you see my notes? Because you prayed a lot of things that I want to talk about today. And Pauline, I want to thank you for one prayer that you prayed, which was wonderful. She said she saw that we've got blind spots. And she prayed this way and she said, "Lord, we'll let you change us in the things that we can see, but we're unaware of the things that you want to change us in." And she said, "It's only when we read the Word of God, which is like a mirror, that we'll fully see." Just like your mirrors on your car, when you look in the side mirrors, you can see what's behind you and all around you, which is what God sees. And so that's why it's important to study the Word of God and to think about these frameworks, these doctrines of our faith. And I'm so grateful to the ladies. I assume it was the ladies. Wasn't the men's group on Thursday, was it, Paul, who put out the knitted? It was Wendy. It was Wendy. Thank you, Wendy. Yeah, thank you, Wendy. A visual representation of Pilgrim's Progress. And it's a great reminder about our journey of faith, isn't it? You see, Christian, who was the pilgrim, he was on this journey Dave referred to it a couple of weeks ago. And the journey was difficult at times. It was hazardous. It was challenging. It was scary. And at times he was with people who he thought were good friends, but eventually they peeled off because they sort of said, "Don't go that way. Let's go back. It's safer, it's easier. Why are we pressing on?" And they peeled away and he was on his own. But we heard, didn't we, how he eventually got rid of this great big burden on his back, which was sin, and he eventually got to the celestial city. And that's life like your life and my life. It's a parody of our lives too. We're on a journey, and on that journey we need to make wise choices. Because Pilgrim Progress is also a great narrative about hope. There is hope for the Christian as we tread on this journey. Talking about doctrines may seem a little bit scary to some people, but look upon them as being frameworks, scaffolding, if you like, around which we can hang our faith. We need to know what we believe in. It's important. But there's a scaffolding and there's a support, but there's an accountability as well, you know, for the Christian. You can't just do your own thing. You've got to do the right thing. So far we've looked at, put the first slide up please, Nathan. We've looked at the presence of God, the existence of God, the character of God, the nature of God, the living Word of God, our adoption into sonship and into the family of God, justification by faith, sanctification, being set apart for God.
Today I want to talk a little bit about choices we can make and what God requires from us. And we looked at the Bible study on Wednesday. We're looking at the life, the journey of Abraham, actually. We're looking at that. And El Shaddai appears before Abraham. There are many names of God, and they're a descriptor of his character and nature. And this is the first time that we hear the reference to El Shaddai, the Almighty One, the All-Sufficient One. And he appears before Abraham. And Abraham falls to the ground in the presence of God. And God says to him, walk before me and be blameless. Walk before me and be blameless. And that's our journey too. So, do you want to ask a couple of questions? You know my style, I ask questions. What does God really want from each one of us? Well, we heard the answer from John last week. It was a wonderful preach, John. What God wants, what he craves for, what he desires is our fellowship. It's an intimacy with him. The Bible describes God as a jealous God. He wants you and me just for himself. And we sing that song, don't we? I will serve no foreign God, nor any other stranger. And that's the way it should be in our lives, that we serve him and him alone. No one else, nothing else, him first and foremost in our lives. This is what you and I were created for, to be a pleasure to God. Firstly, he made you in his likeness and image. You and I are the crowning glory of his creation. We're unlike any other created thing because you and I have a conscience. You and I have choices. You and I can pray to God. You and I can have fellowship with God. And this is what David says. What is man that you just take care of him and have thought for him? And the son of man that thou dost care for him, yet you made him a little lower than God, and thou dost crown him with glory and honor. You're wonderfully made, you and I. That's what God thinks about us. The pinnacle of his creation. Secondly, we've heard it often in this church. You've heard it from the front time and time again. God has a plan for your life. He had that plan before you were even born. And David in the psalm says, for thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. And God said to Jeremiah, this is wonderful. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. You're not an accident. God planned you. Listen, don't ever let anybody speak over your life to say that you were unwanted, unplanned, and that you're just a misery. You're not any of those things. You belong to God. You're unique. And you're uniquely loved. And if people have spoken over you in your lives in the past and told you those things, well, you need to be prayed for, or you need to come and join the Freedom in Christ course. You need to be set free from having that curse spoken over your life, because God sees it differently. You're special to him. Thirdly, God made you for his good pleasure. God is almighty. He has set his will. He has made his plans. He has fixed his purpose. He has issued a decree and has an everlasting strength to be able to perform those things, guarded against the counsel of his own will. That's what God is. That's who God is. And God sees you as a pleasure and a delight. Worthy art thou, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created. Or in the AV it says, for thy pleasure they were created. That's what you and I are supposed to do. Be a pleasure and a delight for God. He wants you to have this deep, intimate fellowship with him. Not just on a Sunday morning. Each and every day. Johnny prayed it in our prayer meeting this morning. He woke up. He just said, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in him. That's what God wants from you and me when we wake up in the morning. Our first thought should be about him. Amen? So knowing God, what God has done, how he has made you and me for himself, how should we walk? If Jen and I go out to a restaurant, which isn't that often, she will invariably try something different on the menu. She's very adventurous in that sense. But I don't do that. I think, well, I may not like it, and I won't be able to send it back, because I'm sure the restaurant isn't going to pay for it to be replaced with something else at their expense. So I'll go for the safe option, that which I know. There's some people nodding, husbands and wives looking at one another, so I guess there's people like that. And I, right, John and Sue, ooh, big elbow in the ribs there from Sue to John. I don't, I'll find out which way around it was afterwards. And in one sense, I get flummoxed by menus that got so many choices on, because I think, oh, everything's so nice. But the Christian life is not like that. It isn't about choices, 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 choices. There's just one choice in this Christian life, and Jesus said it, follow me. Plain and simple, just follow me. And if we follow Jesus, then everything will go well. So why is it that it's so hard for us to discern the right way? And we get confused by competing choices. Since I stopped working in industry a number of years ago, I don't need so many suits. I don't need so many shirts. I don't need so many ties. And I've given some of them away, but I know, Jan, my wardrobe does still need to be thinned out. I know that. And all of us gather stuff in our lives, don't we? We gather opinions, practices, fallback positions to protect ourselves from the icy blast of the world. The Bible says we're to live in the world, but not be a part of it. But too often, what you see in Christians' lives is altogether the wrong emphasis. Too much of the world, and not enough of the lifestyle that says you're merely passing through. This earth is not your final destination. Heaven awaits. And we're to fix our eyes above to those things which belong to God. We can get obsessed with position, status, money, wealth, power, ambition, misplaced purpose, and the list is endless. But what does God want? He just wants you and the closeness of your fellowship. So how can we achieve this? I want to introduce, perhaps it's new for you, this word, or remind you afresh of one of the fundamental principles, one of these scaffoldings, if you like, one of these frameworks which help us live our lives in Christ. And it's the concept of appropriation. This means we take something that we've already got, but perhaps we didn't realize we've got it, and we use it, we apply it. This aspect of our Christian walk requires an active faith on our behalf, wise choices to be made. And the Bible has a lot to say about the choices that we make. I'm just going to put up some scriptures for you now of these next few slides that talk about the scriptures that tell us to put off certain things and then to put on other things. So what are we told? We're to put off or shake off the first one. Do not lie to one another, since you've laid aside or put off the old self. Lying should not be part of your walk now. Deception should not be part of the way that you walk as a Christian. Put off lying and deceit. Next one, please, Nathan. In reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside or put off the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. The old nature is still within us. The old nature wants to assert itself. But you and I have a choice that we put these things off, we deny them, and we say, no, I'm going to walk the God way, the right way, the Jesus way. Therefore, laying aside or putting off all falsehood, speak the truth with love. Do you speak the truth always? You should do. That's what God wants. And you can't see the last one. I should change my slide template. It says, therefore, lay aside or put off the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. We're different. You need to put those former things off. Then there's more. You're going to get more. Next slide. Lay aside, put off every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Listen, we will all struggle on certain issues in life. You should know them. You should make a strategy, a spiritual strategy, to be an overcomer in those things. The sin that trips you up easily. And you and I do it on the buddy system. You know what the buddy system is? You get somebody who is going to be a close friend and you become accountable with them. If men have, because it is mostly men, have difficulties with internet sites and what they look at on their computer, you know, there's a computer program, a Christian computer program. You can set it up. And if you want to stray and go onto those areas of pornography or images which are wrong, if you've got a buddy system, as soon as you go on that site, your buddy will be alerted. Great, isn't it? Accountability. You can think of those issues yourself. The sin that so easily entangles. God sees everything. Do not be deceived. God sees absolutely everything. God wants you for himself. But God wants you to walk in a pure way. Putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. And then finally, therefore, putting aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and slander. That's a big long one, isn't it? Put those things off. It's a big list. It talks about us taking off those soiled clothes so that we can be dressed with the fine robes of righteousness that Jesus wants us to wear. We all like to look our best, don't we? But the world will soon work out in your life and my life if we are living the real deal. You cannot profess to have a changed life without changing your ways too. And God is wanting right now for you and me to make the first move. God sees and knows all things. He sees when we struggle with impure sexual thoughts or practices. He sees when we're weak and foolish and follow a pathway of hatred and lies. He sees when we spend our time unwisely with company that's going to lead us the wrong way. He sees when we do not use our money and our talents wisely. But he doesn't condemn us. That's the wonderful thing about God. He wants us to change and to change into his likeness and walk a different way. He will forgive us if we're prepared to do those things. If we're prepared to say, sorry, Lord, I've got it wrong. You know, there are many new beginnings in God. Thank God for that. Thank God for that, because I am a testament to that, a new beginning in him. But it requires an active participation on your behalf. And this is where we think about this word, appropriation. You and I need to appropriate all the blessings and benefits which are in Christ. And then we need to walk in them and put them on. And we're told to now the next list. For all who were baptized into Christ have clothed themselves or put on Christ. Put on Christ so that people can see who you belong to. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. And have put on the new self who is being renewed in a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. And put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, which has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. A few more to go, because it's a good list. It's a balancing list. We put off things, but we put on things also. Put on the full armor of God. That's a command, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You should be bearing those things. They're the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Do you put those things on in your life? Or are you a different person once you walk out of here on a Sunday? If I was to come with you and shadow you for the whole week, what would it be like? What would it be like if you shadowed me for a whole week? I hope we would see consistency. And beyond all things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. The Bible tells us that we've already been blessed with every blessing, every spiritual blessing in Christ. It says that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And we often hear, don't we, people in prayer meetings, oh, bless me with this, bless me with that, Lord. You've already got them. They're there. You didn't know you got them, but you got them. You've been blessed by God. Been blessed by God before you were born. You're blessed by God in this life. Walk in those blessings. And we need to get ourselves away from that position where we are spiritually needy all the time. I'll use a man expression now. You need to man up. You and I need to man up and walk with God and realize just what God has done for you and me. And we should also get ourselves away from that position where we just admire those things from a distance and we think, well, they don't belong to me. They do belong to you. You've got to walk in them. You've got to receive them first. You've got to understand them. You've got to desire them. But then you've got to walk in them. You've got to test them. And listen, it may not, I don't believe in the instant name it and claim it. I'm sorry, because in my experience, it's about walking in humility. It's about walking through a path of denial at times in our lives. But we need to walk in these things so that Christ may be revealed in us. As one preacher said, God's not interested in your comfort, but he is interested in your character. And all of these experiences, good and bad, will form your character. Are you and I willing to die to ourselves in order that we might live godly and holy lives pleasing to him? Well, I've already cried a few tears for Bill. I'm sure I'm going to cry some more tomorrow. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies alone, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Tomorrow we'll bury our dear brother Bill, who lived an exemplary life. He was a fantastic man. Great elder to this church, great pastor. And tomorrow we will see the fruit of his life. That verse talks about, it's about Jesus, about him talking about his death and how in his death it's going to bear much fruit for many. But he talks about our lives as well. Are you prepared to die in order that new life may come? So what stops us? What is stopping you making wise choices? What is stopping you walking in our prayer meeting this morning? It's going about deeper and deeper into God. What's stopping you and me? Perhaps you'll say, "Well, Arby, you don't know my circumstances. I've been so hampered. I had a mother and father who didn't love me. What about Ishmael? He was sent away by Abraham as he was then, banished, and yet God was able to restore him. But I haven't walked with God, I've disowned him. What about Peter? God was able to restore him. God's able to restore you too. But I've done some despicable things in my life. Surely I'm not able to walk closely with God. What about David? A liar, an adulterer, had a hand in murder. God was able to restore him. What about Moses? He murdered a man. God was able to restore him. But he didn't have a father of faith. What about Timothy? But I've done some dreadful things in my life. What about Mary Magdalene? How God restored her and made her such a wonderful vessel of God. People of God, there's nothing to stop you and me from making those wise choices in God this morning. There's nothing to stop you and me following him and having deep fellowship. Will we do that? Amen. Paul, come and lead us in some worship, please, as we close. And you listen, you know the way we do things in this church. If you want prayer, there's people here who will pray with you, either as we sing these closing songs or come right at the end. But don't leave this place having been, and I hope you've been challenged. Don't leave this place thinking, "I need to do something about that," and then not doing anything about it. Because we can receive the word, and it was prayed again in our prayer meeting this morning. We can receive the word with gladness and joy, but the devil can come and snatch that away. Don't leave unless somebody prays with you. Don't leave unless you ask somebody to say, "Will you be accountable for me in this whole area of my life? I struggle with this." Find somebody that you can trust and rely upon. Amen.